Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. This is The Burt Show.
All right, so we got an email from a Burt Show listener, and she doesn't know what to do because the boss is having an affair with her friend's husband. It's messy, messy. Doesn't know if she should get involved. Mo's got the email.
Hi, Burt Show. I'm a P1, and I love you all. Abby has been the perfect addition to the show.
Thank you.
I need some advice. This one is a doozy. And it's different from all the other conversations you've been having about outing affairs. Like most others, please keep me anonymous and I will change the names to protect all involved. I have two separate friend groups. The groups know each other. We used to all be friends, but aren't any longer. I'm pretty sure it has something to do with the situation I'm about to describe. The first group consists of me, Amanda, and Kimberly. The second group consists of Samantha and two others whose names aren't important. In the first group, I'm better friends with Amanda than I am Kimberly.
Well, I think we need a flowchart.
This is getting real. I'm also better friends with Samantha than I and Kimberly. This will be important to know for later.
I think I'm following so far.
She's okay. Best friends with Samantha, right?
Yes, best friends with Samantha in the second group. But the first group has Amanda and Kimberly.
So she's like, first group, Amanda's her girl. Second group, Samantha's her girl. Kimberly's in the first group and she's kind of there.
Got it.
Poor Kim.
Samantha and Kimberly used to be really close friends until Samantha caught Kimberly texting with her husband too much.
Well, that explains everything now.
The friendship dissolved, but Kimberly and the husband did not. In fact, they have been having an affair for a couple years now. Kimberly confided this to Amanda and swore to her secrecy. Amanda confided in me. Kimberly has no idea that I know anything. Here's the kicker. That wasn't it, huh?
Okay. No, it just keeps getting more complicated.
All of us women work together.
No.
And Kimberly is my and Amanda's boss.
Oh.
Amanda has expressed to me that she feels awful knowing this. We both want to tell Samantha and are thinking about somehow doing this anonymously to protect our jobs and our friendships.
I don't think I've heard anything so messy before.
Wow. So messy.
Please help. I need all the advice. I thought about texting my group with Samantha and asking the question, would they want to know if their man was cheating? But I thought I would see what y'all have to say first. Keep killing it. Y'all seriously are the best. Signed, Disturbed and Distraught.
Oh, my God. All right, 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8746. I feel like we need to call in the troops here.
Need some backup.
This is, we are more than, I feel like we're not even knee deep. We are neck deep in some drama.
I promise y'all I tried to follow this. I don't know if it's because I was reading it or what.
Probably. Okay, so here you go. Kimberly, let's do it from work. Kimberly is the boss, okay, at work. And that you have Amanda and our we have to have a name for our listener. So we will call her Sarah, okay?
Okay.
So you got Kimberly and you got Sarah and Amanda, all right? They're a friend group. Kimberly's also in that, Kimberly's the boss. Mm-hmm. Amanda and Sarah work for the company. And then over here, you have Samantha, who also is, does Samantha also work for him?
Samantha.
No, she doesn't.
Does not work.
Okay. So Kimberly's the boss. Mm-hmm. Sarah and Amanda work for the company.
Yep.
Kimberly, the boss, confided into Amanda that she's having an affair with Samantha's husband.
Got it.
She wasn't supposed to tell anybody, but Amanda went ahead and told Sarah. So now Sarah knows. So they know their boss is sleeping with their friend's husband.
With Sarah's best friend's husband.
Yes, with Samantha's husband.
Got it.
You got it?
Got it. Yep.
Okay. That was, my brain hurts.
That's a lot.
And I don't have my glasses and I can't read. That made it really, really difficult. All right. So do you get involved? Do you say anything? Because it's not like, yes, there's friendships on the line, but there's also your job on the line.
I think it depends on
it depends on how important this job is to you. Because if this is the kind of job where it's going to be a career, I mean, that could really mess things up for the next 10 to 15 years. And I feel like you would have to be more covert about it. Mm-hmm. More of like dropping hints like, hey, like, how are things going on with like you and your husband? And if everything's going fine, maybe you keep things to yourself. Maybe Samantha knows. But if this is a job that is not that important to you, honestly, I would try and find a way to get out of it and then start doing some recon with your girl, Samantha.
Essence, thanks so much for joining the Burt Show. What advice do you have for a listener?
Good morning, guys. We love you. Love you all. Okay. She's going to have to tell her.
Yeah.
She's going to have to do it on a way like, girl, let me tell you what I heard. So this is what's going on with these people over there and this group over there. Like she's going to have to make it seem like it's something she knows of a different friend group of like people that are completely opposite and outside of the sect to get her attention piqued. And like, what would you do if that was you? That's so crazy, right? Like, how would you tell your friend if you knew? She's going to have to say something. Screw the job. Let's think about the friendships. These will last forever. This will stick forever. It will never, ever go away. You can't be the person that knows, sitting across from the person who doesn't. And everybody's just smiling and going, like, glazing it over like donuts. It's not okay. She's got to say something. Mm. It's going to suck, but she's got to say something.
Gotcha. Thank you, Essence. All right, on That's the completely word. Other end of the spectrum. Hey, Ray, so you think she should keep her mouth shut?
I do. I think that it can be super messy when it comes to her job and also her friendship in general, just because if you entertain that kind of behavior, then what are you entertaining when that person's not around?
If this is a good friend, you got to say something. That's where I'm at.
I guess the other thing is, how do we know that Kimberly is going to find out that Sarah was the one to snitch? I think, like, I gave my answer with the impression that, like, oh, Kimberly's definitely going to find out. I feel like you got to tell the friend, but figure out a way to do it that doesn't throw you under the bus.
100%.
But you also have to remember, Kimberly, the boss, doesn't know you know. She told Amanda, and then Amanda told you. So if you pass it on, wrath is going to come down on your friend Amanda for having told you.
But what if she finds some way to, like, find proof on her own? Like, hey, can you find, like, text messages? Can you scroll through his phone? So that way it doesn't look like she only found out because someone told her. She found out on her own.
Oh, this is such a mess.
I'm just telling my friend whatever happens, happens.
I'm done.
The Burt Show.
So, what is the difference between intuition and I've lost the place on my schedule?
Anxiety.
That it is.
Yes.
And I'm having both right now.
So, this is something I've talked about pretty frequently on my podcast, The Breakup Breakdown, which is on Burt's network, the Pioneer Network, which he owns. And every week I have a Tuesday episode that comes out where people talk about their most insane breakup stories. I've had people talking about their exes sleeping with their sisters, people talking about their exes sleeping with their mothers. It's a family affair on the Breakup Breakdown. And then on the follow-up episode on Thursday, we'll dive into like a different topic that is brought up in the breakup story. And the one thing that I say, I think comes up more than any other topic is how to follow your gut. Like I always ask at the end, I'm like, okay, what's your advice? Like if you feel like somebody else is going through this, like what would you tell them to get through it? And the one thing that I feel like comes out 9 out of 10 times is trust your gut.
Your heart lies.
Your heart lies, but your gut doesn't. Uh-huh. But the problem is, I'm like, well, how do you know it's your gut? How do you know it's your gut? Can you trust your gut? Is there science behind it? So this season, I've specifically been diving into that a lot with some experts and just kind of doing my own research on it. So this week, I interviewed a cognitive behavioral therapist who talked to me a little bit about like how you can differentiate whether or not you're just projecting your own fears and past traumas on your partner, or if it's actually like a gut feeling that something might be going on.
Yeah, so the work I had to do over the last couple of years is my gut has always been accurate. The work that I had to do is, why didn't I do something about it?
You don't listen to it.
I don't listen to it. I'll make excuses for it. But the insecurity factor was so high that I just decided not to listen to it. But I always saw it.
Yeah, you listen to it. So you hear it.
Oh, yeah.
You listen to it,
yep.
But you don't trust it.
Too scared to do something about it.
Yeah.
Put it in
so
action.
Why don't you trust your gut? Like, are you just out-logicking your gut? Like, oh, well, it logically doesn't make sense.
I could go in. There's a bunch of different levels psychologically on why, but I understand it a lot. It all stems from childhood.
Yeah.
Not feeling embraced, feeling dismissed all the time, not having, you know what? It's all psychological mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, we got 2.5 minutes left, so don't take up my time.
You asked.
Well, you know, I was just trying to, you know, involve you in the conversation.
There's a real beauty of going through therapy and really going through the hard stuff and saying the stuff in therapy that you hate to say out loud.
Yeah.
Because it really is the only way to get through it. Like, I will never, ever, ever not act on my gut. Ever again, but it took years to get here.
Right. Well, where I was going with that is if you're trying to out-logic your gut, if your gut feels like it's telling you one thing, but it's not as logical as what you tell yourself in your head, actually, your gut is way more of a logical path than you think that it is, because really what your gut is actually your brain recognizing patterns in your life and just noticing them again showing up, which is that gut feeling of, oh, I think I've seen this film before, mm-hmm. and here it is again. But you out-logic it because you think just because it happened then doesn't mean it's happening now. So if you're noticing your boyfriend picking up his phone and kind of turning it away from you, that's something you're clocking.
Yeah, a healthy person can see the manipulation and do something about it. An unhealthy person, like I have been for a very, very, very long time, can see it, but then starts to question their own gut based on somebody else's words. Does that make sense?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. It took me years to realize that I feel like the majority of the times that I got myself into trouble or into a bad situation, it was because I thought with my heart or I listened to my heart as opposed to going with my gut.
So the therapist that I interviewed this week, her name is Joanna Hardis, and she specifically specializes in generalized anxiety therapy. So she has a lot of patients that
have
generalized anxiety disorder, gang.
gang.
No, we're scared. Go ahead. No gangs. She specializes in anxiety. And I was asking her, I'm like, okay, so if I'm somebody with generalized anxiety disorder, how can I differentiate whether I am just really anxious about a situation versus my gut is telling me that something's up?
That's an excellent question.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like I'm good at this.
I know.
And she said the one way that you can really differentiate it is anxiety is obviously a big feeling of unease, but your gut feeling is usually a calm knowing. Like, anxiety will involve emotions. It will involve urgency. It will involve some kind of uncomfortable sense of panic, whereas your gut feeling is kind of like, it comes to you in the shower. Like, that was a little weird that he did that earlier.
It's like an all-knowing.
Mm-hmm. You have an understanding.
Understanding. And the one thing that I took away from that, having interviewed so many people about their breakups, having known something goes wrong in the end, and then also talking to my friends who have anxiety, because we all flock together, is usually when there's a gut feeling of something's wrong, they're usually shutting it down, like, no, nothing's wrong. Mm-hmm. And then when there's anxiety involved, it's almost like they want something to be wrong and they're looking for a way to get out of it. So I think you should clock that information as well. So that there you go. If you want to hear more about anxiety versus your gut feeling and more of the science behind it, you can head to the Breakup Breakdown wherever you get your podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I would like to reopen the Burt Show Book of Records to the woman that has the largest number of both shoes and bags. All right, it's a combo of both, right? I saw this video this weekend, which I have actually done with my ex-wife also. I walked into the closet one time after, I remember being upstairs working and hearing Stacy downstairs just years and years ago saying that she had nothing to wear or she had no shoes to wear for an event we were supposed to do that night. And I'm like, I was just in that closet. I know there's plenty of shoes. So I walk in there and there were so many that I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take each and every pair of these out, put them in the living room for her to see. So when she walks in, she can see how many shoes she has.
So you actually did what this dude did in the video?
I did the exact same thing.
No way.
It wasn't well received.
No.
But she walks in the house in this video and he has done the exact same thing I did. And he's got a number of how many shoes she has.
Eric, what are you doing? That's 100.
No.
That's 105 pairs of shoes, Leslie. Who needs 105 pairs of shoes?
I do.
105 freaking pairs of shoes. I have 4 pairs of shoes.
Now you gotta put it all up.
Do you need this many pairs of shoes?
Yes.
You need this many pairs of shoes?
Yes.
This is unreal. This doesn't even include the garage and the laundry.
Okay. So, clean them up.
No, you pick. You pick them up.
All right, so what I'm looking for is not only the amount of shoes, but the combination of shoes and bags. 1-855-BIRCHO. We could put you on the voice disguiser. Who would have the combination, the most of those two combinations?
Why is he trying to yuck her yum? Like, it makes her happy.
Yuck her yum.
This, I played a video recently of a mom talking to her daughter about not stealing somebody else's joy, not yucking their yum. She's actually selling t-shirts now, which I think is, like, great for her. And she had this long talk with her. So, shoes aren't your thing. Cool. She obviously loves shoes. Why you gotta yuck her yum and hate on her shoes?
I'm guessing they have a budget together. Right? Well,
that's one thing. If
104
she's like,
pairs of... I'm totally five. On this dude's
you
side.
You took
105. What do you need 100? And I am guessing in there, if you really split them up into categories, she has 8 that are the exact same shoe.
I will count mine today, and okay. I will come with a number tomorrow.
All right.
Sometimes you need a different variation. You need like a nude pump, but you need a new wedge as well. So I opened up the video because I wanted to see what the people were saying in the comments because I was curious whose side they were going to take. And I think this comment speaks volumes about the actual video, that this isn't about the shoes. There is some deeper problem that he decided to lash out by using something that's always kind of agitated him. But if there wasn't like a problem that they had been battling in their marriage, he would have never done this. He's just using this as a tactic to really get under her skin.
I'm with the lady on this one.
Yeah.
I'm the problem. So I told my grandmother I didn't know what shoes to wear to my show. And she walked into my closet and counted my shoes. No one's ever done that. It's the first time they've ever actually been counted.
Ooh, can we guess?
Sure.
Oh, is that you are a sneakerhead?
I am. Mm-hmm.
40? 40 pairs of shoes?
Higher.
60.
60 pairs of shoes?
Higher.
70.
Higher.
80.
Higher.
90.
Lower.
85.
Higher.
89.
Lower.
87.
No! 87
pairs of shoes.
My man.
Come on. And man. You know why I feel like I don't have a pair to wear? Because she explained it to me. You don't have a pair you haven't worn yet. You got to have at least one pair that you haven't worn yet and you feel safe. But when you've worn every pair you have, it just feels like you have nothing.
I am shooketh.
It's a sickness, man. I don't know. It is what it is.
No, it's like you're a collector.
That's my thing.
It's your thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am shooketh. Here's Marissa. Good morning. We are looking for the combination for the Burt Show Book of Records, most shoes and bags.
Okay, so that's my mom, like her name. She's the one person I know has the most shoes and purses, always like buying new ones. She probably has like, I think, over 100 shoes and probably over 20 purses.
100 shoes, 20 bags. Okay, 120. Yeah. Thank you for calling. Good God. Mo, you got some work to do. Jamie's way ahead of you here. Hey, Jamie, good morning.
Good morning. I have a little bit of a different answer. My boyfriend has 135 sneakers.
Mo would like to come over and see his collection.
I got to go to the mall. I'm doing bad down here.
Have you ever done the math on what 135 pairs of sneakers might be?
No, I'm too scared to know.
I would never do the math either.
What do you normally pay for a pair of shoes? Like 220?
I could be anywhere. I say on average, probably about, 220 is a good number.
220. For average. Right, so let's do the math on this.
You ready for this?
No, I'm not.
19,149.
It's over like a decade, though. But damn.
No wonder why you don't have a car.
Here, Burt Show.
I would love to have a philosophical debate about expectations. I know I'm asking a lot of us in this room when I throw the word philosophical out, but that's what I'm looking for.
And expectations.
Yeah, there's that too. So that's not the truth. Any Burt Show fam that's listening, if you would like to weigh in, 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8746. Because for the longest time, I have believed, and I've had conversations with my therapist about this over the years, with my significant other, my husband, and it's that you can't have expectations, because if you have expectations, you are ultimately going to get let down and you're going to live a very sad existence.
In relationships? Okay, none at all.
Like just in...
Flow like the river.
Yes, in everything. If you have an expectation, it's more than likely not going to get met and you're just going to live a life of perpetual disappointment. That sounds like a bummer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've always abided by that. Like expectations. I think I should have expectations of myself and I want other people to have their own self expectations. But as far as like having expectations for people in my life, people come from different backgrounds. They have different experiences. They are not going to find value in the things that you find value in. They're not going to, their priority list is not going to mesh with yours. Therefore, their expectations are going to be different. That I understand. However, are you letting people skate by not having expectations of them? That's where I'm starting to have like this philosophical debate in my head. And funnily enough, this all started with our trip to Disney. Because I may or may not have had some expectations going into this trip with my son, who was 3, his first trip to Disney, right? And they were those, and this is on me, and I agree, I should have gone into this trip with zero expectations. But I bought the cutest Mickey water bottle with his name on it, and he refused to drink out of it because he wanted his green water bottle. And then I got the cutest Mickey outfits for him to wear, but he didn't want to wear those to meet Mickey. He wanted to wear his Brontosaur shirt. So, you know, things like that I agree with. And I think for parents, it's very important, especially when you're dealing with a young child, especially a toddler, who, you know, melts down because I put his carrots in the wrong hole on the plate than I was supposed to. That makes sense. But when it comes to adults, should you have expectations for people? And if you don't, are you letting them skate with bad behavior?
It's interesting you asked this, because I had a similar conversation about it when it comes to friendships over the weekend, which I'm going to speak to at some point this week. But for me, I hate when I have to answer this way, but I think it's one of those situations where two things can be true. I think you should do it because it's really ultimately for you. I don't think you should lower expectations, not because of people, but for you, because you will end up being disappointed. At the same time, I do think you allow people close to you to get away with not necessarily being there for you the way they should or doing things for you like they should, because you lower your expectations and don't, I guess, pursue that out of them. So I do think you are making it easier for the people around you, but I do also think it's not necessarily about them. It's about you.
Yeah, I think it's important to separate expectations versus standards. Like I guess I have an expectation of certain standards of how people should treat me. Like I think I expect to be treated with respect. I expect to be able to leave my house and not have someone drive their car into mine, because that's just not what you do. But at the same time, when it comes to certain things, like for example, I just had a birthday pass. I didn't walk into my birthday with the expectation that people should send me flowers, even though they did. Then it was like a pleasant surprise. I was like, oh my God, they thought of me on my birthday. That's so amazing. But that's not a standard for me. My expectations are different than the standards that I have for how I should be treated, if that makes sense.
Here is listener Brittany that wants in on this. Brittany, should you have expectations for others, or is that only going to lead to disappointment?
Yes, you should have expectations. But the way I keep myself from being disappointed, especially, you know, gauging the people I have in my life, ones that are a lot more reliable than others, I always think of the best case scenario and the worst case scenario. Once I accept the worst case scenario, I am able to prepare myself for disappointment in a way. But you can't let off people easily by not expecting anything from them, because people in your life, you know, you get to pick your friends and, you know, your circle as an adult. You know, if you can't rely on these people, then they shouldn't be in your life.
That's a good call. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, let's test this real quick, because you gave your opinion. Mo gave his opinion. Abby gave her opinion. Do you expect me to give mine?
I do.
I'm not going to.
See, that's what happens.
It's the Burt Show.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I don't know that I have ever, not once, heard a wedding tradition called creepy. And not only that, let's double down. Creepy AF, says Abby.
Creepy AF. I am terrified that this is becoming the norm, because the first time I heard about this happening, I thought, oh, it's a little weird, but that's probably just that one family that does this. It's probably just a weird part of the, of their traditions. But then I heard about it happening a second time, and I was like, God, I hope I don't have to go through this whenever I maybe one day, hopefully, one day get married.
God, so, I can almost see your hopes and dreams slowly floating away in that one sentence.
I know. Just as I, as I'm a year older, they're just, the dreams are going out the window. My youth is fleeting. My options are dwindling. Yeah. My hope is flying out the window.
If by the age of 30, you aren't hitched, would you like the Burt Show to throw you a wedding to marry yourself?
No. You, God, oh, that's so pathetic. No.
That is the rockiest of rock bottom.
Right.
Throw me a funeral before you throw me.
That's what it is.
everyone show up, wear black. Your little, what is, birch cake? Yeah, bales. Absolutely not.
Why don't we make this deal? Why don't we just buy you, every year, buy you another cat?
So that, isn't there like laws against how many cats you can have? We're going to have to space it out over like 5 years. Like every 5 years you can get me a cat.
Check with your condos association.
Yeah, I'll hit them up. Anyway, I think some mother-in-laws are starting to step over the line when it comes to the wedding. And I don't mean in like they're being controlling or manipulative, or they're trying to make it about them and make it about their day. It almost feels like this is the product of a mother-in-law and a bride being just a little bit too close, mixed with some weird family traditions that I guess are creeping their way into the norm. Okay. So my friends are kind of divided on this, because some people think if it's tradition, it's totally fine. To me, I think if you take the tradition out of it, it becomes very creepy. So a year ago, I was talking to one of my friends, and we know someone who's getting married, and this person's a little bit closer to them. So I was talking about their wedding, and I was like, oh, how, I know, you know, you're going on the bachelorette party. I know you're going to the wedding. Like, how are things going? How is she feeling? Is she excited? And we got on the topic of her future mother-in-law, because I guess she is dead set on getting this gift that nobody else thinks is bizarre except for us two. So she and the mother-in-law are super close, get along super well, kind of like besties, if you will. Like, they hang out all the time. And for the wedding, the mother-in-law is excited to continue this tradition in their family of getting the bride lingerie to wear on her wedding night.
What?
But it's a tradition. So I guess her mother-in-law got her lingerie to wear on her wedding night.
So she's hooking up her son, basically.
So she's hooking up her son with some lingerie. Now, to be fair, I saw the set. It wasn't like particularly spicy or sexual. It was like a very beautiful night set. But it struck me a little bit as a little weird that you're buying something
that your son's going to take
that
off.
That your son's going to take
his new
off.
Wife.
Let's just call it what it is.
That's a fact.
Let's just call it what it is. But it's a tradition. So a lot of them were like, just, you know, it's beautiful. Let them have, they're clothes. It's not that weird. And she doesn't technically have to wear it on the wedding night. But I'm like, if she specifically said for the wedding night, it strikes me as a little weird.
I would like to counter this.
Okay.
I would just like to say that for all the mother-in-laws out there that don't support their sons, this is the shining example on how you can do that.
It wouldn't feel weird to you if you know that's where she got it from?
Of course it would.
Okay. It would take me right out the movie.
Yeah, of course it would. It wouldn't stop me, but
it would definitely I'll get past it.
Yeah, like, be a little weird. I sure will.
I have so many questions. Like, is the son in the know on like this family tradition, or is this something the bride's supposed to tell the son on the night of their wedding, like, your mother bought this for me before we consummate
marriage? Now come take it off.
I mean, there are different kind, like you said, there are different kinds of lingerie. Is this, like you said, beautiful and it's flowing and almost robe-like, or is it Fredericks of Hollywood where things are going up your butt?
I think it was... I don't think it was like a teddy or something that you would like get at Adam and Eve. I think that it was something she had like custom made. There was a nice little robe attached. So Okay, so that's the beautiful one. That okay, I'll give some credit to, like, okay, it's a tradition. She got her a nice nightgown set. It's special, whatever.
I'm thinking like Hollywood starlet, you know, with the flowing robe when she comes down the staircase. Okay. But the other stuff, that's creepy.
But here's what I heard the other day. So my mom gets a call from her friend whose daughter is getting married, and her mother-in-law is throwing her a lingerie shower. So now, to me, this is now crossing the line. Family tradition is one thing. If you are throwing your daughter-in-law a full-on party specifically to get nighttime attire for your son, I need the police to come in at some point. This is becoming enmeshment at this point.
I'm going to make it not so bad for you.
Dear God. Okay, continue.
Okay. What if it was lingerie and they also brought in Adam and Eve?
You know what? I think this is the kind of stuff you would get from Adam and Eve, which is a little bit more spicy, a little bit more sexy. It's not necessarily you're going to get something from your local, you know, couture tailor.
You know, whatever floats your boat, I guess. I don't have that kind of relationship with my mother-in-law. Very sweet woman. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine my 80 plus year old mother-in-law throwing me a lingerie party.
It's a very special family.
It's a special family. I mean, because we did this fun game. If you have a bachelorette party, have all the girls buy you like panties or lingerie or something, and then they don't put their name on it, and you open it up, and you have to guess which one of your friends got you that set, because mm-hmm. it kind of speaks to their personality, right?
It's a little different.
Yeah, it was super fun. But the stuff I opened up, there were so many backless panties and crotchless panties and weird stuff that, like, I just wouldn't want my mother-in-law to be privy to.
Part of it. And anyway, so I'm glad that I'm not the only one weirded out, because I thought I was going crazy.
No, I think you're spot on this one.
Yeah. Don't throw me a lingerie shower. Please don't.
Mo, let's say it's your mom we're talking about.
No.
And she
I can't even finish the sentence.
She wants to throw your lady a lingerie party.
No.
It's the Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.